What's up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Monday, June the 13th, 2016, and Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have a wonderful show for you on today. Today's topic, yes, right, should be pretty good. Missional Monday. I'm not a Christian, but I'm coming to your church this Sunday. Yeah, that's the topic of the show. I'm not a Christian, but I'm coming to your church this Sunday. This should be good. So let me give you the rundown real quick. It is your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio all by my lonesome. Looks like that way so far. I believe I'm still going to be by myself. I'm not sure, but I'm in the studio by myself today. And, man, I'm just excited about what's going on. But let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, you can dial 855-381-8804. That's 855-381-8804. If you are listening already, meaning you've already dialed in on your phone line, you can just push 1 and you can be a part of today's show with your questions and or comments. If you want to email the show, that's easy to do. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. TakingTheLimitsOff@Comcast.net. You can email the show, and we'd love to read that email over the air. If you want to watch the show, that's right, you can watch the show. Ustream is up and running. That's right, we flowing in here. Ustream is up and running. Just simply go to Ustream.tv and do a search under the section. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there as well. Social media, we are there. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Twitter, you want to tweet the show. Simple, @TTLO Radio. Again, that's @TTLO Radio. You can find us there. And last but not least, if you want to follow along with the podcast, you can subscribe to our podcast. Real simple to do. Go to iTunes, do a search under the podcast section, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us right there. Amen. Wow, we have a great, great show. Give me 1 second here to do a little mic adjustment, and I'll be good to go. That's better. I think that's better. Praise him. Might be better. All right. There we go. So, man, look, I am excited about today's show and about some of the topics we're going to broach on today. I am excited also because there's so much going on in the world right now. There's so many things going on in the world, and we're just going to talk about them as much as we can. And I'm going to try to I'm going to be as candid as possible with you about some of the things that are going on. Everyone knows by now, unless you're living under a rock, everyone is aware of what happened in Orlando over the weekend. Everyone is pretty much aware as to what happened in Orlando over the weekend. And I just want to first send my our prayers go up to the families of those people who lost their lives in New York over the weekend, this early Sunday morning at the nightclub in New York. Our prayers go out to the families of all those that were affected by the senseless violence that took place in New York at that nightclub with everything that happened. So I just want to make sure that we're all, you know, sending our prayers up because it was and is senseless violence that took place. Absolutely no excuse for it. Just want to make sure that we do that. It is not the easiest thing to do to deal with mass shootings. Let me say this because I know this has already been said. This has been said in Chicago that, you know, don't let the mass shooting in Orlando take your minds off of the shootings that go on a daily basis here in Chicago. The only difference is what happened in Orlando happened all at once, And in Chicago, it's happening every day. The numbers equal out. What happened in Orlando in one night happens in Chicago on a weekly basis. So we just want to talk about, but I want to keep the focus where it needs to be right now, and that's in Orlando. There's a lot of stuff I can talk about in Chicago, but I'll get to that. First off, let's just deal with some of the some of the details of where we are and where everything is as of right now. There was a this happened somewhere about 2 a.m. in the morning in Orlando at a nightclub, and apparently this shooter, who is an American-born person, he's born in America rather, and he decided he was going to some kind of way walk in the night. How he got this gun in the nightclub, that is yet even to be seen with me. How he was able to even get in the club with the gun is the first part. I'm still trying to wait to find out. I've been looking and searching and reading articles last night and all morning, trying to figure out how he was able to get his two weapons. Let me make sure I get that right. His two weapons into the nightclub. So I'm shocked by that. I'm just shocked by the fact that this in this country, and let me say this, and I posted this briefly right before I left to come to the studio this morning about gun ownership. And I said this, you know, as a responsible, I'll paraphrase my own statement, but as a responsible gun owner, you know, I've owned guns for many years. Let's see, I'm 46. I've been a legal gun owner since I was 22. Yeah, 22 or 23 years old. And I have been licensed to carry a gun since I was 26. And with that being said, I just find it I am in total agreement that we should have the right to own guns for self-protection and to protect our families and to secure our families. I am 100% in agreement when it comes to that. However, this gun that was used, and if you don't know, if you haven't been paying attention, the gun that was used in this incident is the same gun that was used in the Newtown shooting. It is an AR-15 machine gun. There's no other way around it. It is an AR-15 machine gun. It is a military rifle, and let me just give you some information about this thing, just so you have an idea of what it does. It holds. Let's see here. Yeah, it gives you. It says rate of fire depends on operator speed when pulling the trigger. 400, let's see here. The average bullet goes 547 yards. The average bullet. Various Stanag magazines, which means it can hold anywhere from 5 to 100 rounds. Y'all get that? 100 rounds. It can hold 100 bullets. If you don't know what a round is, that's a bullet. This gun is capable of holding 100 bullets in one single load. Now, I don't know if you know what that means. There were 300 people in the nightclub. Okay. There were a total of 103 people shot, 50 killed, 50 including the gunman. But that means there were 102 people were shot, And then he had a Glock 17. He had a Glock 17 handgun that he used, that he had on his person, rather. I'm not sure if he used it or not, but he had a Glock 17 handgun. Glock 17 is also a gun that holds 16 bullets in the clip and one in the chamber. 17. Here is a situation where the handgun, once again, I told you, I'm a responsible gun owner. I believe that, whatever. But there is no way in the world, two things, that I myself should be able to walk into a gun store or a gun show. That, you know, gun shows are, they're normally out in rural America, rural parts of your state. Like even here in Illinois, you go downstate Illinois, you drive far enough, or you just do a quick search online, and you can find a gun show. And if you do that, you'll find it, and there you can walk up to a table underneath the tent, and in 15 to 20 minutes, you can walk away with any large assault weapon or rifle you want to at any time. And that is just the gist of it. In this case, this guy, and I refuse to say his name, but this criminal was already on the FBI's watch list. He had been interviewed twice by the FBI for statements that he made, derogatory statements he made about certain groups of people here in this country. So he had been interviewed twice. Now, he did not have according to what we've read so far, what we've learned, there was no real reason for them to hold him. But he was on the do not fly list. How is it you can be on the do not fly list, but yet you can still walk into a gun store or a gun show and buy an assault rifle? I don't hear nobody. Exactly. He's on the do not fly list, which means he can't go to any airport and buy a ticket and get on an airplane. He got to drive everywhere, or Amtrak or bus. He can't go nowhere on an airplane because he is listed as a possible threat. So, but yet he was still able to walk into gun store, gun show. 9 times out of 10, I'm waiting to find out where he bought it. I'm sure it's going to be tracked back, that it at some point passed through a gun show. Because, see, at gun shows, there's no background checks. Y'all, and we talked about this with the gun violence here in the city of Chicago. You want to know how the guns get into the city? Because, see, there's no checking going on at the gun show. See, if I go to my local gun shop here in Chicago or here in Illinois at the actual shop, they're going to ask me, all I need to do is have my identification and my FOID card, and that's it. At the gun show, it's just have your FOID card and your checkbook. Because there's no background checks. So myself, I could walk into a gun show. I could go online right now, Google for the closest gun show, and take $5,000 and go and buy however many handguns and rifles I want. And then, because they're not registered to me, I just buy them. So because they're not registered to me, I can then come to Chicago and disperse them to whomever I choose. You don't believe me? Do your research. Do your research. But yet this is the situation that we're currently in right now, because we are not we're so gung-ho on our rights to bear arms. I'm not telling you can't own a gun. I'm not saying that you shouldn't own a gun. But what I'm simply saying is that who needs an AR? And this ain't a hunting rifle either, y'all. This is not a hunting rifle. It serves no purposes for hunting. Okay? It serves no purpose for hunting. It is strictly for the purpose of killing, and killing in mass quantities. So you know, I just it's one of those things. I'm not going to get on this long gun story. I'm not trying to bash gun owners, because as I've stated several times since we came on the air a few minutes ago, I'm at a loss for how this happened, and it's sad. But if we didn't get outraged when they shot up those school for the kids with the AR-15 rifles to try to make some significant changes in this type of gun, then we're not going to get excited. We're not going to get upset now. But moving on slightly, we're going to take a slight turn, just a slight turn. Same subject, but slight turn. So, of course, this happened yesterday morning, right? So, of course, yesterday morning being a Sunday, of course, this probably was mentioned in about, I'd be bold enough to say, probably about 90% of the churches across this country. Somebody in the pulpit at some point said something about what happened in Orlando. And I want to say that I believe, I don't know this to be true, but I'm going to say that I believe that for the most part, most of the people who had something to say said, pray for the families, keep them in our prayers. We want to stay prayerful, you know, stuff like that. But then I do know for a fact that this was said in some churches, and I've seen different quotes on Facebook. And then I actually heard that it was said at some churches that I'm very familiar with on yesterday. It said, or people said, that if these people, maybe if they hadn't been in that club, that kind of club, they wouldn't have been killed. Maybe had they not been in that kind of nightclub, they wouldn't have been killed. First of all, this is one of those times where, you know, in the corporate world, you know, when in the corporate world, and you're talking on the phone with customers, there's certain things you just can't say because it'll cost you your job. As much as you want to say them, it will cost you your job. Like, there are things that I say here on this radio station here because I'm here and we're not necessarily FCC regulated. But there are certain things that I say here that I would not dare say in a pulpit setting or in a counseling session or just peer, because, you know, because people could, because sometimes I'm not going to say I don't say things to be hurtful, but it sometimes the timing is not right. Yesterday was not the day for pastors and preachers to stand in pulpits and talk about the sin of homosexuality. That was not the day. Once again, church, y'all can get mad, hang up, disconnect, unsubscribe, whatever you want to call it, if you want to. But once again, yesterday was not the day for you to start talking about the sin of homosexuality. Because my question would be, if it was a regular nightclub, if it had been a regular nightclub with straight people, then what would have been the thought process? But no, we want to capitalize on the fact that it's a gay nightclub. And because it's a gay nightclub, this is some kind of way God doing X, Y, and Z. Y'all need to stop lying on God. Y'all need to stop talking about this is God's fed up vengeance with America because of homosexuality and all this. Because let me give you some information. If God was fed up with the sins and crimes in America, I tend to think God would have acted up and start to tear up and kill some folk. Oh, let's just say back in the 1800s during slavery. I think if God was going to be that vengeful and just start allowing things to happen, I think he would have done it when folk that looked like me were in captivity for 400 plus years. I think If God was being vengeful, if God was just doing these things, I think when all those Jewish people were being led to the gas chamber, I think he would have enacted some vengeance then. So don't all of a sudden with your high and mighty, holier than thou behind, sit in your pulpit talking about some, well, had they not been in this, well, you know that club was homosexuals. Because, see, I'll take y'all back. Because, see, I was still in I was still coming to church, or had just started coming back to church when the tragedy happened downtown Chicago, here in Chicago in 2003. Yeah, sure was. And I remember some people, 2003. When E2, when all those people died in the nightclub at E2 because of the stampede, 21 people were killed and 50 more were injured. And I remember people, some self-righteous folk, and I y'all know it's my tongue is bleeding because I'm biting it right now, not saying some names. But some folks stood up in the pulpit, well, if they had not been in the club and been home getting ready for church, huh? And then you wonder why nobody wants to come to your church. You wonder why nobody wants to be bothered with your hateful sounding behind. That's why they say we hate them. See, when we speak the truth about their sin, that's one thing. But then when you try to capitalize on their grief by then throwing their sin in their face, that is hate. And that is why it sounds that way. That's why it comes off that way. You can try to pray about it all day long. But if that's how you feel, your prayers ain't get no further than the microphone they going in. I just find it amazing that we as a church are still on this we want to take this, well, we want to take this opportunity because, you know, if there had not been in that kind of nightclub, okay. So had he just shot up a regular nightclub, then what? Well, you know, had they not been in the club, you know, out there on a Saturday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, or as people like to say, nothing good happens at 2 o'clock in the morning at a nightclub. Really? Really? I would love to know. I would love to know what do they say when the 2-year-old or the 3-year-old is laying in their bed and the bullet, the stray bullet comes through the window. Well, if they had their bed on the other side of the room, huh? Because that's how stupid it sounds. That's how stupid it sounds. Because it makes absolutely no sense. None whatsoever. But yet, we keep it going. Yet, this is the response that we get, that we've seen and that we've heard. And yes, I've heard them. I've heard them. And it makes absolutely no sense at all. Got an email here. Give me a minute to pull this up. The email says, I'm so glad you're saying that. Did they forget about the preacher who was in church, finished preaching his sermon, and his brother shot him to death in the church? Stop lying on God. Amen. Amen. Did not. Thank you, sister. It's one of those things where it's like, did we forget? But see, it's easy. It's what we like to call low hanging fruit. Low hanging fruit. You know, the term low hanging fruit means I ain't got to do much to get it. I don't have to do much to make a point because it doesn't take anything. Because see, the minute I say homosexuality and I'm standing in a pulpit, I'm guaranteed at least 10 amens. I'm guaranteed 10, because see, that's easy to do. And see, when I ain't got nothing else to say, it's easy for me to say, oh, well, you know, had they not been in the gay nightclub, had this not happened, had that not, had they not been there. See, that's what you call low-hanging fruit. And you ought to be, you ought, that's when somebody, that's why there really needs to be. You can say what you want about the Catholic Church, and I know they've done a lot, they screwed up a lot of stuff. I ain't defending their religion. I ain't defending their screw-ups. But at least there is some kind of hierarchy. So when you start, when you say some stupid stuff, and when you just say some stuff that just ain't of God, they can just come and say, you know what, it's time for you to sit down. See, it's easy to sit folks down when they tell you the truth. But then when you sit up and tell a bald-faced lie out the pulpit, then who coming to sit you down? Huh? Don't get me started. I cannot deal with this. These non-feeling preachers and pastors who take an opportunity like this to capitalize on homophobia. If you were going to say anything at all about what happened on yesterday, only thing should have came out of your mouth is we are going to be in prayer for the families, the victims, and their families. We don't know, God, why they did it or why he did it or what caused him to do it, but we're going to pray for the families. Anything else out of your mouth talking about, well, why they were in the club and we don't know why they chose that lifestyle and we don't know this and that. You know what? You need to shut the hell up. And I mean all the – shut what they call the hell up. I mean just shut up. That's why folk don't want to come to your church. That's why folks don't want to come to church. Because, see, watch this. I ain't even talking about the homosexual that won't come to your church. I'm talking about the unchurched who hears these comments coming from these pastors and preachers. And let me tell y'all about, speaking of comments and pastors and preachers, I might well go ahead, hell, I'm going to stay in trouble anyway. Look, did y'all see what Billy Graham, Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson's comments on this thing. Pat Robertson. Let me see if I saw this because I know one of these things was fake and one of them wasn't. So let me make sure I got this. Make sure I got this. This thing. Yeah. You know, it was fake. Okay, so I won't repeat that then. Okay, I'm glad I caught that. It was fake. Thank you for the information. Let me just watch what's going on here. Because Pat Robertson was one who said that what happened in, remember Hurricane Katrina? He said that that was God's wrath for all the sin and fornication and gambling and everything that goes on in New Orleans. Y'all do remember that, right? Right. And I'm sure you probably had some of these same type preachers who was running around saying, oh, hey, by the way, well, you know it probably happened. Well, because of saying that this is God's way of vengeance for same-sex marriage laws that got passed. You know what? Let's stop. Now, Pat Robertson did not say that. That was a post that was going around on Facebook, but I just did a quick check on the little fact check deal, and he did not He did not say that. But I mean, it's just so many. The problem is, you do have these people. There are people who actually do feel that way. There are people who feel that way, and you know, and the bad part is they feel that way, but at the same time claim they represent Christ. How are you representing God and you spewing hate? How is it possible that you're representing God and spewing hate? But we don't. But we will holler amen to anything. We'll holler amen to anything because we don't recognize that. Wait a minute now, pastor. Preacher, where is your empathy for what's going on? You might not feel the same way about them as a people, but where is your empathy? Meaning, where is your understanding for what just happened to 50 people? or 102 if you count the injured and the dead? Where is your empathy for what they're going through? See, that's no different than the idiot who blames the prostitute for getting raped. I don't care what her line of work is. If she said no, she said no. I don't care how short the girl's skirt was in the nightclub and somebody snatched her up. If she said no, she said no. But see, these are the type of fools and idiots, and I mean straight up morons, that we have running around in our churches and pulpits talking about, well, you know, if she didn't dress like that, it ain't got nothing to do with the way she dressed. Let me tell you something about rapists. Rapists rape whoever they can rape. Don't matter what you got on. They don't care. You don't believe me? Ask how many rapists was wearing pants when they got raped. But yet we'll say, well, maybe she wouldn't have been dressed like that. Maybe had she not been at the night. Really? Really? It's always something. So we always try to make it easy, and then we push we forget about the person that committed the crime. And we don't focus on the ones that got killed. Well, you know, had they not been, okay. How about had we not had these lackadaisical gun laws? How about that? How about that? How about that had been the case? How about we had not had that? How about it had been so easy to go buy a gun as it is to go get a freaking carton of milk in certain times? How about that? It's saddening. It really is. It really is. It's just saddening. It just is. Let me move on. In the Christian Post, I believe it was, no, Christianity Today, the Christianity Today website, they did a meditation on shootings throughout the country, and then I think it was, okay, here we go. It was, come on, computer, act right now. Come on. Thank you. All right. Yeah, we had Christianity Today, and then the Gospel Coalition, they had an article that they just posted, 5 ways Christians can respond to the Orlando shooting. And I'll just read some of this real quick. He says, and this is on the Gospel Coalition website, gospelcoalition.org, pretty good website. We've used the articles before. He says, it happened again in the dark hours of this Sunday morning. Some 50 people were killed and another 53 were injured in a terror attack in a gay nightclub in Orlando. President Obama has called it an act of terror and an act of hate, and it's being described as the most deadly shooting in American history. We're going to talk about that part too, this most deadliest shooting in American history, because I know y'all seen some comments. The news of such violent atrocities comes to us so regularly nowadays that we may feel numb, helpless to know what to do or to say after such events. But as followers of Christ, we can't simply shut out the pain and despair. We must bring light and healing. These horrible events of recent years have targeted a wide variety of people, military personnel, moviegoers, elementary school children, and now patrons of a gay nightclub. All have dignity as made in the image of God. The death of any leads to mourning, whether they were targeted at random or not. Over the years, several writers for TGC have provided wise guidance on how to respond. These 5 calls to actions apply to the most recent in string of tragedies. Now, I'm just going to go through a little bit of this because we got a lot to cover today. But they gave 5 ways to cope or can respond. The first one, of course, is to pray. It's simply to pray. The second is to pause and, you know, think about what happened. The third is to grieve. Give yourself a chance to grieve. The fourth one is love. We regardless of what their lifestyle was, or regardless of whether or not you agree with them and how they live their lives, your job is to still love them. At the end of the day, you can be as high and holy as you like, but let me tell you this. When Jesus decided to let them put him on the cross, he didn't just do it for you, super saint. He did it for the least of these. Huh? He did it for all of us. So, yeah, you might not be homosexual, but you got some issues. And he died for you anyway. He died before you knew you was going to do what you was doing. And he died for you anyway. So I wouldn't be so quick to judge those other ones because of the lifestyle they happen to be living. Because, no, their lifestyle ain't of God. But guess what? Yours might not be either. You might not be doing what they doing. Huh? But that don't make your lifestyle all, you know, pretty and pink. Huh? Somewhere and sit down. Let me keep going. So we need to love everybody. And the last one is hope. We should remain hopeful and remain faithful that God is still in control. So if you get a chance, go to gospel, thegospelcoalition.org. This is the top article on their website right now. And it talks about all types of different ways to deal with grief and stuff like that, because it's a lot to swallow. It's a lot for people to have to deal with. And we want people to stay in prayer. But then, you know, there's also action that needs to take place. Look, y'all, I'm gonna take a quick break and grab me a little water, because I didn't grab me one when I ran in the dough. So I'm gonna grab me a quick drink of water. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna be right back. When we come back, we're gonna continue the conversation. Look, I appreciate y'all emails. I appreciate y'all listening. Send them in. I know you may have comments. If you're listening on the line, you can push one. Glad to get your comments on this situation. We're gonna jump into the article in a few minutes. If you got any questions or comments about what's going on, you want to talk about this thing with these crazy gun laws we have in this country, feel free to jump in. I'm hoping we can have some answers and we can come to some. We can't make the decision, but hey, you know what? This is where our votes are really, really needed. But I just want you guys to continue in prayer. We want to keep the people in Orlando in our prayers. Okay. All right. I'm gonna take a real quick break, y'all. I'm just run over here and grab me some water, and I'll be right back. TTLO.
Well, when I think of His grace and His mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
Amazing. That's that Adrian B. King single on his upcoming release. So amazing. That's good stuff. Just thought I would share a little bit of that with y'all. Feel a little better now. Feel a little refreshed. Got me some water. It was good. It's good. So look, yeah, we've been talking about the whole Orlando situation and everything like that. And I just wanted to put that out there as far as, you know, and again, this is just my own my opinions on what a lot of the stuff that was said on the different on all the different news coverages and everything like that. And I just thought it was it would be apropos to share that with you this morning, this afternoon rather. So look, we're gonna keep the show going. I am this is one of those times where I've said this before, I'm kind of disappointed in the language of the church. And when I say, I mean the church whole yesterday on this whole blaming the victim thing, almost to say as if they weren't gay, they wouldn't have been shot. I mean, that's pretty much the gist of what's of how some of these comments are coming off. And it's kind of sickening that you can call yourself a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, a man of faith, or someone who claims to be in the image of God, but yet you would say such a thing. Because to me, you sound just like those people back in the biblical days who would say, "Well, what did he do? He must have did something for him to have this issue. He must have did something for him to have leprosy, or he must have did something for him to be blind and born this way. His father, somebody did something." You want to blame the victim instead of addressing the issue. You want to blame the victim. Yeah. But you want to preach unity. Huh? You want to preach unity. That's what you want to do, huh? All right. I got your unity. My. Anyhow. Let's keep it going. So, of course, because of the shooting yesterday, a lot of stuff. I believe the Tony Awards came on last night. So if you're into the Tony Awards, I'm not a big fan of the theater award shows, but that was on yesterday, and everybody was doing a tribute at the awards, on the Tony Awards last night. And, you know, I saw some of the clips and the highlights, and you could tell that the mood was completely somber because of what had transpired in Florida. But I loved some of the speeches. A lot of people tore up their speeches. And you know, I love some of the feedback and all around. It's unfortunate that everyone that got up to give a speech that I heard, the clips that they played, every clip was talking about loving people. Every clip was talking about loving people. But then when I hear and read the clips online coming from pastors and preachers, every quote and clip ain't talking love. Majority of them are, but then you got the doofuses. Yeah. My. All right. So that's what we had. Look, I hope everybody had a good weekend. This was our first official, like, summer. It wasn't like officially summer, because I think summer kicks in this weekend, but this was our first official days of like that weather where it's just like, you know, crazy hot. And you could tell, And let me say this, and I'm probably finna get myself in trouble. You know, I'm gonna lighten the show up a little bit now, so we need to have a little fun. And hopefully in a minute we'll give y'all the food of the day. The food of the day is coming in a minute. It's coming. But I want to get y'all. I want to talk. Can I talk? Can y'all know we family, right? We family. Ain't we family? Okay, we family. Can we talk for a minute? Can we talk? Now I know it's hot. And the summer, the difference between summer and winter, I've broken it down to this real small, simple thing. In the wintertime, when you are cold, you know, you can layer up and put on enough layers so that you don't die of frostbite. You know what I'm saying? You can layer up. In the summertime, you really don't have those same options. So in the summertime, we try to wear light clothes and you know, different types of different materials, more linens and cottons and stuff like that, to, you know, breathable stuff so that we ain't sweating and whatever. Can I talk to I'm trying to think of the right word. Can I talk to my people who really don't like this hot weather? Can I talk to y'all for a minute? Can I talk to my people who are can I talk to y'all for a minute? Let me say this. In the last few days, I have seen some outfits on some people, and I hate to say this, and I know I'm probably going to catch some backlash, but my sisters, can y'all talk to each other? Maybe that's the better way to do it. Can y'all help each other out? Is it possible for one sister to walk up to another sister and say, "Sister, I love you, but baby, you should never wear that again"? Is that possible, or is that going to be a fight? I know it's probably going to be a fight, but somebody needs to walk up to somebody and say, "Baby," or in the words of Michael Henderson, "Baby, sweet, You can't wear that no more. I have seen mole roles than I can find in the grocery store in the Hawaiian bread section. We don't need to see that. We don't need to see that. It's not necessary. And my question is, it's not about being vain, and that's not it. Please help me with this. It's not about being vain. My question is, everybody, I would assume we all have mirrors in our house, right? I would think we do. I would just assume we have a mirror in our house. If we ain't got one on the, what's that thing called? Not the dresser, what's the little show, the chest of drawer, whatever that thing is. If we ain't got one on there, some of us have those, and then we have the full length mirrors on the back of the door or the room with the back on the closet or something. We see ourselves before we leave the house. When you're in the store and you're buying outfits and you try them on, I know I'm not, I hate trying on clothes, but sometimes I have to. But when you try them on in the store, you see how it fits. You recognize where it's a little, you know, where it's like, okay, that's not bad, you know. But then you see that some stuff is pulling and that one piece of thread is fighting with the other piece of thread and the lining is crying. You see this when you put this stuff on. And yet you buy it anyhow. And then, watch this now, watch this. Then you buy it and then you happen to walk out and you wear this stuff in this weather, because this is the weather for it, and you walk out and then you wonder why people are looking at you strangely. I wish there was a way we could talk to each other and just tell each other, that's just not a good look for you. Some stuff you just don't need to wear, ladies, my sisters. I need y'all to increase the sisterhood so y'all can have some real-time conversations with each other. And some of y'all probably friends with some of these people, but see, y'all ain't real friends. Y'all ain't real friends. I'm going to tell you something right now. I have a lot of friends, and a lot of them are female. And if any one of y'all ever came out the house in some mess that I have seen over the last few days, y'all would probably not be my friend no more, but Dana going to tell y'all. Old and young. I'm going to take, look, babe, what was you, are you okay? I'm just going to ask a question. Are you feeling all right? Has your eyesight left you? Is there something wrong? You can't. I don't care how hot it gets. If you that hot, maybe there's some other options that you need to try. Because all that stuff that's it just ain't right. It just ain't right. Just like I'm sick of seeing dudes walking around with their pants all the way below the bottom parts of their behind, I'm sick of seeing some of y'all walking around with where you know your stuff's so tight. You know, I can read your birth certificate. I can tell you if you know. I mean, what? Anytime your clothes so tight, somebody can tell you ovulating. That means I'm just saying, you don't need to ever wear stuff again. You just don't need to. When your back look like Stone Mountain, Georgia, because of all the different contraptions that's pushing stuff over here and over there, you don't. No. Okay, let me stop. I can feel the hate mail being typed right now. Let me stop. I'm just like, my goodness, why? Why? My. So anyway, I just had to share that because this is a time where we are just, it's too much going on with, and y'all don't need to be. We need to work on that because that just ain't going to work at all. It ain't going to work, and we could do better. We can do better. So in a minute, We're going to have our food of the day, I believe. We're going to have our food of the day. I'm going to wait and see if we, okay, I believe we're ready. Y'all ready? All right. So here we go. On Monday, June the 13th, what is the food of the day? Okay, can't nobody hear you. Your phone sound real bogus. Let's try that again. Hello. Yeah, your line is bad. We're going to ask you to call back in again with the right information so we can hear you, because we could not. All right. So we're going to move on. and we're going to come back because we could not hear from the producer on what the today's I know what it is, but I don't think y'all could hear it because she was kind of the phone was a little her connection was a little bad. It was that she had no anointing on her connection. So let's wait. I'm gonna give her a few minutes to get back in here. And okay, she's back. I'm gonna give her a few. She's back now. Let's see if she's better. Are you there, ma'am? Can we hear
I'm
you?
I'm here. Can you hear
okay.
me?
Okay. That's much better. That's much better. Now, let's try this again. What is today's National Food Day?
Today is National Cupcake Lovers Day.
Mm-hmm. National Cupcake Lovers Day. Cupcake.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cupcakes.
Cupcakes. Do you have a particular cupcake you like?
Not really, no. Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah. Thank you so much for that bit of information.
Hey.
We appreciate you.
You're welcome. You're so welcome.
Cupcake Day. Wonderful, isn't it? Let's keep moving, shall we? Let's keep moving. So today's conversation should be good. This article, I think I have a perfect amount of time to get this done. Missional Monday. It is Missional Monday. The title of today's article, I'm not a Christian, but I'm coming to your church this Sunday. I'm not a Christian, but I'm coming to your church this Sunday. That's the title of today's article. And, man, I'm excited about it because I just think it's going to be awesome. Just the thought. I just like the way that the article even reads in itself. It just sounds good to me. I just like the way it reads. So we're going to jump right into it. It's on churchleaders.com. It's under the articles for pastors, and it's by the writer is Tom Weaver. Tom Weaver is the writer. Once again, I'm not a Christian, but I'm coming to your church. I'm coming to your church this Sunday. He says, okay, I'm not a Christian. He says, but I finally made the decision to come to your church this Sunday. Don't expect much from me, though. If something comes up, I might not. But right now, I'm planning on it. I feel like I need to go, but I'm not sure why. I want to tell you a few things about myself before you meet me. Now, mind you, this is a non-Christian talking about some things before they get to your church. Number one, he says, I'm not going to understand religious language or phrases, so be aware of that when we talk. He says, I don't understand slain in the spirit. God is moving in me, covered in the blood. I need to die to self. You just need to be in the word. What you need is a new life, etc. He says, if we have conversation filled with religious talk, I'm probably not going to understand half of the words and maybe think you're a little crazy. And let me say this, amen. That's why to this day, if I ask you, especially my church people, if I ask you, hey, how you doing? And your response from you is, I'm blessed and highly favored, full of the Holy Ghost and favored in the Lord. That right there, don't see. What is that? What exactly is that as an answer? Man, how you feeling today, Doc? Man, boy, I'm just full of the Holy Ghost and just excited about what God is doing in my life. That's really not what I was asking you. I was asking you how you feeling, and you know, how you doing is a term to open up conversation and to see how you're feeling physically. And, you know, you can, you know, yeah, I'm feeling a little under the weather, or, you know, everybody's good. How's the family? Well, my family is just blessed and highly favored in the Lord. See, that's, I could have a conversation with you, but an unchurched person, why would they want to talk to you after that? What purpose? I mean, seriously, why would they want to continue to sit down and have a conversation with you when every other word out of your mouth, well, you know, if it was not for the blood, what? I'm not saying that you should not be excited. I'm not saying that you should not be excited about your relationship and your walk with Christ. That is not what I'm saying. So please don't mishear me. But what I am saying is that you need to learn how to have regular, normal conversations with people. That should be possible. Because otherwise, folk don't think you're a little bit on the crazy side. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Let me move on. Number two. When you ask me how I'm doing, know that I don't trust you. Oh, my God. When you ask me how I'm doing, know that I don't trust you. The writer says, I'm probably going to lie and tell you I'm fine. It's not that I don't want to tell you. It's just that I come from some pain and I'm not sure if I trust you yet. How about you tell me your story first? If I like you and get the vibe that you're not trying to capture my soul or anything, I'll tell you mine. Amen. I'm in total agreement. Your job as an evangelist is not to give them scripture. It's to let them tell them about you and how your relationship works with God and how you have overcame some things because of your relationship with God. Because, see, if you come to me with this high and mighty, I'm holier than thou and I've never done anything and I walk on water in the bathtub type scenario, then when you ask me how I'm doing, I'm just going to say fine, because I've already feel like I can't measure up. But if you can tell me how God brought you through some mess and how you was on your way to hell and how he saved your family and he saved your children and how he did, now we might find out we on the same block, just two different sides of the street, and we can communicate. But you got to be real with people. Real conversation. Then they can start to open themselves up for trusting you. Number three, watch this. I've got pretty rough language, and I can be bitter and angry about some things. The writer says, if I sense in you a mindset of superiority, I can get that word out, I'm out. He says, if you're just waiting for your turn to talk instead of truly listening to me, I'm not going to be interested. Don't expect me to be exactly like you. Wow. Oh, my God. I like this. He says, if I sense in you a mindset of superiority, that means because you know so much Bible and you know they don't, you try to lay down all of your theological seminary training on them and make them feel less than, you know, normal, you know. He says he's out, but I like this part. He says, if you're just waiting for your turn to talk instead of truly listening. See, that's where I think a lot of preachers and a lot of pastors are disconnected from their congregation, because instead of truly listening to what's being said, they just sit there and nod their head and wait for you to stop talking, because, see, that's their way of pretending to listen. Because you can tell when somebody's listening to you. You know how? Because when you stop talking and how the first five words come out of their mouth, if the first five words out of their mouth is not related to what you just said, 9 times out of 10, they were not listening to what you just said. And let me tell you, if that's the case, if you've been in a room with a pastor and you sat there because you had to talk, and that person on the other side of the table is sitting there with a concerned look and got a pen in their hand and, you know, want to write notes, don't really write none, want to write notes down, and then you finally finish. And then they come to you and they say, well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, that I saw this on, and it ain't got nothing to do with where you are. You should probably make that your last meeting for counseling, because he or she sitting on the other side of the table could care less about what's going on with you. They could absolutely care less because they're not listening. Listening is a learned, practiced skill. It is a learned, practiced behavior. And you can tell right off the bat when people do not listen because they have not learned how and they do not practice it. And do you really want to take counseling or advice from someone who, when you're trying to, when you're pouring your heart out to them, they can't give you the time of day? Do you really want to do that? Probably not. So I say it again. I just think we need to be very, very careful to find out about those people that are listening and those that are not. Because if you're listening, you should be able to at least conduct a conversation based off the words that just came out of my mouth. Let's keep going. We're talking about the title of today's conversation is I'm not a Christian, but I'm coming to your church. Number four. Here we go. Don't make a big deal of introducing me to everyone you know. Don't make a big deal of introducing me to everyone you know. He says, I understand a couple of people, but please don't set up a welcoming line. I'm just there to check it out. Let me have a bit of space. Isn't that the worst thing in the world? And I can tell you this just from a personal standpoint. You're not even church lady. If you go somewhere, you know, and if I'm with you and it's my first time, you ain't got to introduce me to everybody. Just let me sit back and chill. You know, it's not necessary. Well, you know, this is so-and-so. How you doing? This is so-and-so. So this is Dr. So-and-so. Oh, how you doing? This is Pastor So-and-so. Oh, this is Bishop So-and-so. Oh, here you go. Oh, man, you need to meet Apostle So-and-so. And I know I don't. Because let me sit back and watch. Because I may sit back and watch and learn some things, and then you come and tell me later. I mean, I ask you later in the conversation, man, who was that over there? I saw this dude, man. He was cussing like a sailor in the bathroom and blah, 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 and all this other kind of stuff. And then you say, well, which one was it? It's him over there. Well, that's Apostle, son. Oh, that's Apostle, huh? Uh-huh. Right. So, see, you don't, you ain't got to run me through the gambit. I don't need to walk the reception line like it's at a wedding or something. I don't need to stand in line and shake the hand. I'm good. Let me just see some people for who they are, minus the title. Can we agree to do that? Let me see some people for who they are, minus the title. That would just make sense to me. It would just make sense to me. Because a lot of times, you know, people don't come to church for the dog and pony show. As much as we like to give them the dog and pony show, people don't come to church for that. You've seen it in these, what is it, the Westminster dog show, whatever, and the dogs are, you know, groomed perfectly and they walk around and, you know, they run them around and they check out their teeth and all of that. No. Let me see some video of your dog at the house. Let me see if he tanned up the slippers. You know how they had those nanny cams, or people have these security cameras and these systems in the house, and you can see the dog. Let me see what that nice dog does when ain't nobody watching. So see, I don't need to know I don't need to know that he's a grand German shepherd that was, you know, he was a shepherd's dog and he comes from the lineage of this and that and all that. No. He a mutt and he tabs stuff when ain't nobody looking and you just clean him up nicely for the dog show. Same thing with some of us Christians. We clean up real nicely for the program, but as soon as they turn the lights off, I don't need the dog. We don't need the dog and pony show. I'm good. Maybe that's my problem. I mean, I can only speak for me. Maybe that's my problem, because just like this I am right now, this me, like, this is 24/7. That's probably why I stay in trouble, because this is me 24/7 right here, right? Yeah, this is it. I don't care if I'm sitting in the studio or if I'm downstairs in the pulpit. This is it right here. So you know, this is it. Oh, God. Let's keep going. Number five. It says, I'm going to be looking for genuine interest in me. I'm going to be looking for genuine interest in me. That's what the writer says now. He says, I don't want to feel like your personal salvation project or be a notch on your I saved one belt. If this Jesus is who you say he is, then I'm looking forward to seeing him in you. That's how it works, right? So here we go. People are looking for you to be genuinely interested in them and what they are doing. And if you're not, they're going to know that. It's going to be fairly easy for them to figure out that you are strictly interested in numbers. And when people find out that you are strictly interested in numbers, guess what's going to happen? They are not going to respond. They are not going to come back. They are going to know that you're not worried about my soul or my salvation. You're worried about the attendance and my tithe check. Huh? Y'all know I'm right. It just boggles the mind how we as a church have not figured that out yet. How we as a church is still in this process of we just need to grow. We need to grow. Do we? Do we now? I just think it's so interesting that people are looking for people to be genuinely interested in them and not in what they can do. Could you imagine? Just imagine a musician walks in the church, and the church is in need of a musician, and they woo and swoon him, not because of who he is, but for what he or she can do. What is that? What makes that any different than just using people? Because see, I don't want you because I'm excited about your soul being saved. I want you because we need a good organ player. I want you because we need a good drummer. I want you, you know, because we want to have the best music on the West Side. That's why I want you. But we don't recognize that. People want you to have genuine concern for them, genuine concern. And how do you expect them to have genuine concern for you or for them when you don't show any genuineness? Huh? Okay, let's keep going. Number six. Let's keep this going. All right. Number six. He says, I'm going to have questions. I need truth, not your preference or your religion. So you can just tell me what the Bible says. You get that? Just tell me what the Bible says. That's all. Just tell me what the Bible, they just want to know what the Bible says. Don't give me your preference. Don't tell me about your traditions in your church. Tell me what the Bible says and then show me. If we started to do more of what the Bible says versus what tradition says, maybe we would actually start to grow in numbers. That's why I love this article. I love this article. The writer says, he says, I'm going to have questions. People, new people coming to your church, first time in the church, I'm not going to say first time in the church, but first time getting the urge to come visit your church, and they happen to be unchurched. They're going to have some questions. And the worst thing we could do is to fill them up with our traditional mess. It's the worst thing we could do. But we want to, oh, well, you know, we do this, and we wear black on these days, and we wear white on these days. And then they have the nerve to get mad. Well, what? Okay, so what's the biblical reference to that? Oh, there isn't any. Oh. Okay, so y'all just do stuff over here, huh? Y'all just do stuff. That's what y'all do. We just do stuff. So what's the biblical reference of you know, doing this with the left hand and turning around with the right foot and doing, okay. Because, see, I can't do all that, so that means I probably ain't going to fit in. See, I'll go so far as to say this. Jesus Christ would not fit in most churches today. He would not be welcomed in most. Here's a question that you should really ask. Would Jesus be welcomed in your church? Would he be welcomed in your church? Because, see, Jesus asked a lot of questions. Jesus asked a lot of questions. And Jesus would question a lot of our habits, a lot of our dogma, a lot of our traditions, a lot of our just setting our ways type info. Jesus would ask a lot of questions. And I just wonder how long it would be before we decided to run him off. Or how long would it be before he decided to just say, I'm on going down the street? I just find it interesting that instead of showing people who you are, you want to sell them on your religion. Don't try to sell me on the Christ portrayed on the TV. Sell me on the Christ in you. Sell me on the Christ of the Bible that's in you. Not the version of Christ that you created for yourself, but the Christ in the Bible that's in you. Show me that person. Easy to like this and follow this, follow these people because they're great orators or they're great theologians and they're great lecturers and motivators and all that wonderful stuff. That's wonderful. But when the cameras are off, and when there's no sermon to be preached, no Bible study lesson to be taught, who are you? What type of person are you? What type of conversation do you have when the cameras are not on? I can tell y'all something right now, and you can believe it if you want to. The conversation I'm having with y'all right now over these airwaves for the last 2 years, I have these all the time, every day. Just like this. And sometimes, believe it or not, they're more intense. Y'all get the PG-13 version. Pray for me. Y'all get the PG-13 version. I'm just telling you, because you people, and this is you have to, people are looking for authenticity. There's a time out for people looking. You grab people to come to your church just so you can add numbers. Nobody care about your numbers. Let's take it this way for instance. You have a professional sports team in your town, wherever you are, because I know y'all listen all over the place, but I'll just use Chicago. We have four large sporting facilities here in Chicago. United Center, where the Bulls and Blackhawks play, Wrigley Field, where the Cubs play, and then U.S. Cellular Field, where the White Sox play. I think Wrigley Field and U.S. Cellular Field probably hold 35 and 40,000 people, each of them. And then I think Soldier Field holds about 50. And then I think United Center holds about 19,000 to 20,000, depending on the event, concert or basketball game, one of the two. Okay, imagine this. Yes, you have a sellout, and all the tickets get sold, and you have butts in the seats. Stay with me now. But nobody buys anything from concessions. Let me say that again for my yellow bus people. You got 50,000 people in your stadium, and they're sitting there. Nobody goes to the concession stand. How do you think that's going to work out? And the reason why is because they're just a butt in the seat. They are not vested in you, which means because they don't feel like you're vested in them because of the product that you put out. So I'm just coming because I ain't got no. It's only football team in Chicago is the bad. So I'm just gonna go. But you and that's it. And you can say, well, they got the ticket money and all. Yeah, they got that. That's fine. But there's another side of the business. If nobody goes to the concession stand and buys anything, how long you think they're going to be viable? It's just a thought. Just a thought. Let's keep moving. Last one. Number seven. And again, we're talking about, I'm not a Christian, but I'm coming to your church. Number seven, I need to feel welcome. The writer says, is there a time limit or something on my visit before I'm supposed to feel unwelcome? I mean, I've been to other churches, and there seemed to be a push for me to make up my mind or something. How long until I'm unwelcome? I love that. Because, see, we be on our best behavior, and we see visitors. And I've seen this happen. I've heard this said. Matter of fact, I've heard this said to some people I know, people who come to church, and they're not members. So because they're not members, technically they're visitors. But then after the second or third time, they're really not visiting anymore. But then here is where we as church folk, we get impatient. We make comments like this when we see them. Ooh, when you going to come on and join us? And then you get mad when they respond, why? I'm here. I come every Sunday. Why do I need to join? Or, let me take it a step further, when they do join, you get these words. I don't know what took you so long. Really? Really? Maybe I was watching you. And maybe I was watching you. And I was just kind of sitting back watching you. And because I was watching you, I was hesitant on whether or not I wanted to come and join your circus. Maybe the reason I didn't join right away is because I was watching how I see you talk to people after church. Maybe I saw you in the parking lot when I was walking to my car and I heard a conversation that you was having with somebody else. Maybe that's what deterred me from joining your church. Oh, because, yeah, I saw you in the church praising the Lord. I saw you waving holy hands. I saw you lifting and dancing. I saw all of that, but I also saw you in the parking lot. I saw you one day. You didn't know I saw you. We happened to be in the same store, and you was on your cell phone, and you was cussing somebody out, and I heard you say something about Sister So-and-so in the church, who I happened to see in the church, and I know who you was talking about, and I heard you talking about her like a dog. So when I came back the next week, it made me hesitant on joining your church. But then you're the one who comes to me and asks me, what's taking you so long? See, rather than ask that question, maybe we should just say, it's good to see you. It's good to see you again. Glad you joined with us again. It's just good to see you. But no, we got to dig. Because see, when you're desperate for people, when you're desperate for money, we got to get them in and get them in right away. And then we got to get them working. Huh? Only in the church do we bring people in and give them jobs with no training. Only in the church. Because even at McDonald's, I'm going to take it to the lowest common denominator, even at Aldi's, even at the Walmart, you got to take a test. Huh? You got to go through some training. In the church, confess your sin. Say you believe he rose and that he died and he was born and that he died and that he got up on the third day and right hand of fellowship and all rights and privileges and blah, 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 blah. And you can teach Sunday school next week. I ain't playing. Because we don't genuinely make people feel welcome. We just want numbers. Because watch this. If I was a visitor the first week, right, a real life first time visitor, and I stood up and then watch this now. Watch this. You made me stand up in the first place, right, because, you know, you do that whole uncomfortable thing. We make our visitors kind of stand up. I'm still on the fence about how I feel about it. Some days I am. I'm good about it. Some days I'm not. I'm on the fence about it. But we make folks stand up, right, and then if they're first time visitors, we ask them to raise their hand, and then we do that. Now watch this. I noticed you didn't come speak to me when everybody else walked around and came and hugged me and shook my hand and did all that. But oh, when it was time, when the third and fourth week came and the fifth week time, the fifth and sixth time I came, and then when I finally joined church, you got the audacity, you got the unmitigated gall to walk up to me and say, what took you so long? And see, now see, the Dana response would be, well, hell, what took you so long to speak? I've been here 6 weeks. You ain't said two jack words to me. But you want to ask me what took me so long to join your church. That's when somebody ought to teach you these words. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because you don't mean me no good. Because what it sounds like to me is what took you so long to give us your check? That's what it sounds like to me. What took you so long to put some money in the offer? That's what it sounds like to me. That's just me. Nobody care about that. We need to start showing, making people feel welcome. Because I like what the writer said. How long is it before I'm unwelcome? When I just come and listen to the sermon and listen to the music and then I go home without building any relationship with anybody. Oh, that's a problem? Maybe I'm trying to see who these people are, and I'm not going to find all that out in the first week. Because, see, here's the mistake some of us make. We go to churches on the day of the program. Just like when you're buying a house, or you're moving, when you're thinking about moving to a new property, it's real good to go to see the house in the daytime. So you can see all of the outside of the property and the foundation and the walls and the molding and everything. And then when you go inside, you know, it's bright lights. You can see all of that stuff. And that's wonderful because it's been staged perfectly for you at that particular moment. But then it's always good to go back at nighttime. And then it's good to go back on a Friday night. If I could preach it like they do on one Friday night, and then it's good to go back on a Saturday night, because what you want to do is I don't need to see the house. I need to see when it ain't a show. I need to see when it ain't what do they call it? When they what's the house thing? Open house. I don't need to see it when it's open house. I need to see it when it's a closed house. I need to see it when it ain't, when we didn't seek guests. We weren't seek. I want to see what your church is like when you're not seeking guests, when you don't know company coming. That's when I'll really know what kind of church you are. I saw what you looked like on your anniversary, and all y'all was on and popping. But I want to see what it looked like 2 weeks after the church anniversary. I want to see. I saw what you was like the first Sunday of the new year. Everybody was praising God and thankful for just being able to walk into 2016. But what did you look like third Sunday of the new year? See, that's when I really get to know what kind of church you are. Because, see, guess what? Churches that have wonderful hospitality and wonderful welcoming committees, they do it religiously. It is a learned process. It has been practiced that we are going to welcome you whether it's the first Sunday of the year or it's the 32nd Sunday of the year. It don't matter. We gonna welcome you the same way, same smile, same greeting, same every time, because this is who we are. But see, we want to set up the hit it and quit it moment. See, you know, we want to get you good on that first date. First date, we taking you to Mastro's. Second date, we going to Red Lobster. Talk to me, somebody. I'm just saying, that's what we do. We fool you. We give you that Mastro service for the anniversary. But check us out in 3 weeks. You're going to get that Golden Corral service. You get your own plate, get your own fork, find your own table, and serve yourself. That's what we're in a bad habit of doing. Y'all know I ain't lying. I'm telling the truth. Okay, get mad. It's all right. You know the number, 855-381-8804. Say something. Okay, well, it's been good. So the last part of the article, the writer says this: thanks for hearing me out. I'm pretty sure I'm coming this Sunday, but I might not. That's how he ends it. This is actually a good article. Tom Weaver, he's the lead pastor of Logos Community Church in McAllen, Texas. So very, very, very good article. If you get a chance, read it. It's on the website. You can definitely check it out. We are down to about 2 minutes left. Once again, I thank everybody. And hey, y'all, look, can we thank God for a non-issue, non-downtime, praise the Lord, we didn't have no problem type of service today, huh? Can we thank God for uninterrupted 90 minutes today with no issues? Praise God for whoever the engineer was at the blog talk who fixed whatever it is. Praise God for that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I could just say that right now. Thank you for uninterrupted. I just got excited. I might change the rest of the day to Praise Break Monday. I just got excited by myself. It's been absolutely wonderful to be here today. I appreciate all y'all for your listening and all your time and your prayers. Father, we thank you right now for just who you are. We thank you, God, for these listeners. We thank you, God, for this facility that you've given us, God. We thank you for those who had the heart and the mind to allow us to broadcast from this location. God, we thank you for this community that you've placed us in, God. We ask that you would continue to protect the children and the adults in this community, God. We continue to pray for those in Orlando, God. We ask that you would cover their families, God. We know that they're grieving right now. We ask that you would just touch them, God, and open their hearts, God. We ask that you would open the hearts and of the open the closed minds of some of these preachers, God, to let them know it's not about their lifestyle. It's about their life. It's about their hearts. So we're praying for those preachers, God, who condemned people for their location instead of praying for people. So, God, we're praying for them right now that they would have softened hearts and not hardened hearts. God, we thank you for the city of Chicago, God. We thank you for this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I'm out of here. It's been wonderful. I will see y'all on Wednesday. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO, I'm out.
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company. And all his love I know. amazing.